There are many, many, many different sermons that can come out of this passage. You've got, let's see, Jesus comes in and says, peace be with you. You can have a sermon about peace. You can have a sermon about the peace of Christ. There's another time where he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. You could have a sermon about the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is like a Pentecost experience, but we talk about that in a few weeks. We'll talk about Pentecost. You can talk about believing, as Thomas believed, but first he doubted. You can talk about doubting, and that's what we're going to do today. We get to talk about doubt. So are you ready? How many of you know the card game, the one where everybody has a card and then they hold them here, and then it comes around and you have to put down your card, and if it's a 2, you have to put a 2, and if you don't have a 2, you have to put a fake card down there and say it's a 2, and then the person next to you, if they don't believe you, says what? Right. See, good. I'm glad that you just said that, because there are other names for the card game that you could use. But, you know, I was thinking probably wouldn't be a good idea to make a sermon called one of the other names that the card games are. So you go around there, and I've played this many times, and sometimes you play it with, you know, you can put down 1, 2, 3, or 4 of that kind, or if you have 2 decks, 8, and sometimes the game goes on for a long time, and I've played this with groups, and if it goes longer than 45 minutes, we usually say, that's about good. Who has cards left? Okay, you all win, and you're good at playing I Doubt It. And in that one, doubt is a good thing, you know, but if you doubt and you're wrong, then you have to pick up all the cards, is that right? You pick up all the cards. So it's not the greatest thing. But doubt is at least an okay thing in that game, and you're rewarded if you doubt and your skepticism is correct in that part there. But I want to show you something else now that you can exercise your doubt. And for this, of course, we need a very brave volunteer. One very brave volunteer. Who's going to be that brave volunteer? Someone who hasn't volunteered for something before. Very brave. Come on. Who's going to be brave? No one's brave? Okay, Pam's going to be brave. And this is really brave for you. All right, Pam. Here's what we're going to do. Well, it's a deck of cards, okay? Is it okay to have cards in church? I don't know. No? Well, we've got cards in church today. Okay, so what's going to happen is I'm going to ask you to pick a card. I'm just going to... What happens is I kind of go through, and then I'll stop when you say to stop, okay? So we go, but you didn't say stop. So if it's on top, do you want the top card, or you want it?
No,
you want a different one. Okay, tell me when.
Stop.
Okay, was that the right time? It stops, okay. So this is the card you want, you're sure? You're sure, okay. I'm not going to look at this card, and there are no mirrors here, right? Hey,
mirror, give me the mirror.
No, okay. This is your card.
Okay?
You can hold it, but we're going to put it right back on the top of the deck. Show it to everybody else. Don't show it to me. Okay? You got it? Put it right back on the top of the deck so we know your card is on the top of the deck. Okay? Now, we're going to hide this card in the deck somewhere, so tell me where.
Yeah.
All the way, like right there?
No.
No? Okay. There we go.
Stop.
Right there? Okay? So now your card's on the top, right? Okay?
It is.
It's still on the top. Okay. So now we should probably shuffle the deck, right? Or do you want to shuffle, okay? Or
sure.
Shuffle? Okay, so I'll just kind of shuffle and... So now your card is on the top, right?
Probably.
Right. Okay, so is that card's on the top? Okay, so now we're going to... What should we do? Should we cut it again? What?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, you got to tell me to stop. Okay, here we go.
Stop.
Okay, so we got it, and... That's your card, right? Okay, so it's your card. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'll hold this. I have a tool. This is our tool today. Will you hold that? Okay, now I'm going to stand right here. Back up a little bit. Have you practiced your knife throwing? Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it right here. And then I want you to take it, and as hard as you can, you have to throw the knife so that it sticks in the card and that it's going to actually, the card that, okay, ready? No? Okay, let's switch that, all right? Okay, you hold the cards above your head, okay? All right, above your head. Yeah, okay, so I'm going to, on a count of 3, 1. You don't look like you really trust me. All right, how about you hold the knife again? Okay, instead of throwing it really hard, why don't you slowly glide it into the deck. Just anyway. Yeah, that's where you want it?
Okay? And so now, what we have is your card. Right? Okay, now everybody be very amazed.
Wow, that's so amazing!
Okay, put your card back in. And now the trick's over. Thank you very much.
Everybody get that now? Okay, did you all want to see to make sure that the deck is, it's a real, you know, it's a deck. So, can you see it back there?
It sounds like a real deck.
It sounds like a real deck, yeah. And it looks like a real deck, too. It's a... Was that a feat of magic? I doubt it. Oh, you're catching on to the sermon title thing. Did I break the laws of probability by being able to have that card appear so many times? Yeah, you doubt it. Now, your doubt is not unfounded because it is, it's a trick, it's an illusion, and it's not, you know, every time you do that trick, it's the same card. Unless I, you know, go downstairs and change things around or whatever that is. But what was the card? Yeah, it's the four dimes. So that was the trick, and it wasn't magic. And am I going to tell you how I do the trick? Very good. Very good. But what am I going to do? I'm going to make an abrupt switch from popular culture and magic illusion into the Bible. So we're going to look at this morning's reading from John. After he was resurrected, Jesus came to the disciples and he showed them his wounds and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he told them about forgiving sins. And that forgiving sins is a difficult part. And one of these years, you know, when it comes back, that'll be the topic of the sermon. But this time, it's about the Thomas thing. And Thomas wasn't with them at the time. And where he was, nobody knows for sure. Some say that because he's called the twin, maybe he was visiting family, which is possible. But others say maybe Thomas is the brave one. He's the only one that was willing to go outside and go get food or supplies for everybody. As a matter of fact, he has that reputation as being the brave one. He went off to India. And there are still people in India whose last name is Thomas, related to Thomas's trek to India to share the good news with them. And so you find places all over. You know, you expect the last names to be very different, and there are Thomases. But Thomas wasn't with them at the time. And when the disciples told Thomas what they had seen, he's like, "No way. I have to see this for myself unless it happens." And then Jesus came. And what did he do? He showed them. He said, "All right, I'll show you. This is it." It doesn't say that Thomas actually put his fingers in the wounds. It just says that Jesus invited him to do it. And Thomas said, "Unless I can do that, I won't." But you can imagine that maybe Thomas said something like, "Yeah, I'm good. Okay, I got it. I believe. My Lord and my God, I believe." And so Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe without first seeing. But you have seen, or you have believed because you've seen." And so therefore, here we go, the end of the sermon, right? We are moved to go from doubters into believers. We're taught that our questions are signs of doubt, and that doubt is the opposite of faith. Right? Did I just say that? Do you think that doubt is the opposite of faith? I doubt it. I don't believe that doubt is the opposite of faith. And I want to make four statements to you. And they kind of represent a journey that I've had in my life. And you think about whether you agree or disagree with those statements. The first one, doubt is uncertainty or skepticism. Second one, doubt is the absence of faith. Third one, faith cannot exist with doubt. And the last one, doubt and faith exist together. So that first statement, it's a shortened version of a dictionary definition of doubt. If you look it up, you'll find something really close to doubt is uncertainty or skepticism. The second one, that's one that I was taught as I grew up by a few Sunday school teachers. Doubt is the absence of faith. The third one, faith cannot exist with doubt. was what the second statement kind of led me to believe as I was growing up. And then the fourth one, doubt and faith exist together. That's what I believe. I get this from the Life Application Bible. Listen to this. Some people need doubts before they believe. If doubt leads to questions, questions lead to answers, and the answers are accepted. Then doubt has done some good work. It is when doubt becomes stubbornness and stubbornness becomes a lifestyle that doubt harms faith. When you doubt, don't stop there. Let your doubts deepen your faith as you continue to search for the answer. I love that last line. Let your doubts deepen your faith as you continue to search for the answer. It's like this journey that doubt is a part of, but doubt doesn't stop. Doubt sort of moves us to go a little bit further. It makes me glad and it makes me enthused about what is to come when I think of statements like that. And it makes me be able to say things that are just like this. Like, I have doubts that the Bible has come to us without the flaws that human beings have put into it, but I have faith that the Bible, as it has come to us, is the Bible from which God wants us to study and to learn and to be confused and to dig deeper and deeper. And I have doubt that a loving God would allow all the hate and the evil and the tragedy that is in our world. Even if it's people who have set the wheels in motion and that leads to all of the tragedy and the death and the horrible things. But I do believe that God has a picture that is much larger than the picture we have. And that God is far smarter than I am or anyone else in the world could ever hope to be. I have doubt what the next days, what the next months, what the next years will bring for Union Congregational Church. But I believe that God will lead us towards God's will. I have doubt what the future holds really for anyone. But I believe that God is faithful and will lead us where God wants us to go. I have many doubts that I have all the... that I have any answers at all. But I believe that God does have the answers. But then that comes with questions. Will God be unfaithful? Will God lead me astray? Will God give me all the answers and make things easier? What's the sermon title? I doubt it. Let's pray. God, in our doubts, help us to seek you. As we look more and more for answers, help us to know that you are walking with us and that you care for us and love us. Thank you for giving us faith. Thank you for the doubt that leads us to a deeper faith. In Jesus' name, amen.